You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
Royce Unchained, presented by Josh Arnold, investment consultant, Mr. Money Talk, and the Timberwolves soap opera, the ownership soap opera continues here, Pat. So we already, a couple days ago, Woj had reported that A-Rod and Laurie, in their proposed budget for being majority owners, proposed a giant slashing of payroll. That was the big Woj report from 2 days ago. But then yesterday...
It wouldn't be slashing until next year, though, right? Because they wouldn't be soaring over the salary cap till next year, right?
It was the I think it was the 24-25 payroll,
yes,
right?
Yes. Yeah. Where they're going to have to, where they might be, what, tens of millions over it or something. So, okay, what's happening today?
Okay, then yesterday, Shams reported.
Oh, of course, the other side.
Yep. So here, well, yeah, there's a lot of tentacles to this, but. So Tim Connelly, the architect of the last 2 years, right? The Gobert trade, everything, the general manager. So he apparently negotiated 2 years ago an opt-out clause after the second season aligning with the A-Rod Laurie deadline.
Okay.
So he, because A-Rod and Laurie are the ones that schmoozed him and hired him. Yes. He would not be here if not for A-Rod and Laurie. And so he negotiated an opt-out clause after this season. Presumably, if something went sideways, like it is with A-Rod and Laurie, then he could decide if he also wants to leave. So he is a free agent if he wants to be this summer.
Okay, and didn't he, there was a thought he was going to go last year, right, to Washington, because he'd been there before. So you're pretty much a free agent anyway, right? Although maybe not in the NBA, maybe you have to stick to your contract. So
I think you need permission. Okay. Yeah.
All right. So that was, we knew that, once the, Woj fired, from ESPN, then, the Athletic was going to have to come back from the other side. So, Connelly's, Taylor's willing to pay him what he's making. Is this because he's so tied in with the other side that he would want to leave? Is that what
I don't think Connelly and Glenn Taylor even like have a relationship other than seeing each other in the hallways. I don't think they talk strategy together.
He was at the Taylor home for dinner.
Okay.
They went to that one time. I don't know if lasagna. I don't know if Becky made lasagna or not, but he was at the Taylor home for dinner. Unless Glenn's getting really old and it was somebody else. It wasn't Tim Connelly, but he was there. You know, he talked to me about how they had him down there for dinner and what I quoted something about him in that column I wrote when this all broke loose. I think about what a nice fella he was and how what a competent guy he was. He found that out when they came to Mankato for dinner. So
is it like the Roman Colosseum where you arrive and then you're and ultimately
the vomitorium?
You know, somebody upstairs gives you the thumbs up, thumbs down. It's like if you get the lasagna, you're in. If you don't,
I wouldn't know. I've never been to the lasagna dinner. I don't think in Mankato it's a palatial place either. I'm not sure though.
It's big. I was once when the Garnett trade when the Garnett thing started to break, Pat. I was in Mankato for training camp, and the boss at the time requested that I try to go knock on Glenn Taylor's front door, to which I was met by a gate, a big gate and a huge driveway, and said, you know, boss, I don't think I'm going to be able to simply knock on the door and say, Glenn, can I get some of Becky's lasagna? And hey, does Garnett really want to trade?
Yes, that didn't work out well.
No.
Is that the same boss who wants? No, probably not. I don't know. It's a different boss that wanted me to go knock on Mitch Lee's door in Miami. So that was a bit different. I'd rather go knock on Glenn's because there was a large barking pit bull in the front yard. So that kind of excluded me from just tiptoeing up there and banging on the door in the neighborhood. It wasn't a horrible neighborhood. It wasn't a great neighborhood, but it wasn't a horrible, but we passed on that one too. I had a phone number and no one inside was answering. And I just decided, so, you know, you had it easier than me, you know, I would say.
Oh yeah. I just saw the gate and called Crevier and said, this ain't happening. There's a gate right in front of me.
Yeah. Well, anyway, yesterday we talked a little about this, that the other side would have to fire here pretty soon, wouldn't it? He can't just take that. So it's Woj has got his sources, and I wouldn't say we decided it's not the Taylor camp, it's kind of the league camp. We're guessing, but Shams all in with the A-Rod Connolly and A-Rod Lori group. So this will be going on for a while here, I'm sure. You know what else? You know what that out gives you if you want to leave? It also gives you a chance to get a raise from $8 million to $10 million or something like that. So, man, that's exactly a lot of money for a GM. So.
You know what, Pat? I agree with your thoughts yesterday. I don't think the players care. I don't think the players are affected one bit. But can we make one appeal? Can we drop this crap for just a few months so the fans can enjoy this? These long-suffering people who have put up with all of this crap finally have a really good basketball team. Can mommy and daddy just not fight until the season is officially done?
Well, they can fight, but maybe just not publicly.
Well, sure.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I guess the fans are taking sides. Yeah. Glenn is definitely losing the PR battle, but do they really care? Do the fans really care? They keep showing up and they're a lot more worried about Nas, and they get Cat back tonight. Well, yeah. Supposedly, that's not 100%, but...
He's apparently playing. I mean, unless something goes sideways before the game, he's playing.
If he's going to play in the playoffs, he's got to play here. I was looking up stuff on him last night for this, for this occasion. It's hard to believe he's been here 9 years, isn't it?
It's crazy.
It's also hard to believe he was a complete Iron Man when the first 3 years, never missed a game. Mm-hmm. The first three years, I wrote it down here. He didn't miss a game, and Wiggins missed one.
Yeah.
Tibbs played him, man. Tibbs played him, that's for sure. It's funny. The raving optimism that me, kind of a grump, greeted this guy with, because he seemed like such a classy, you know, remember that first press conference on way back in 2015, and he was smart and he was funny, and mom and dad were educators and they were there with him, and he seemed to, for a 19-year-old kid, he was fun loving but he seemed mature, and now we don't what have we had here with what's your 9-year review of Cat?
Wow. Okay. My 9-year review starts with he's the second best player in franchise history.
I was going to ask you if you felt that way, because we certainly all felt that was going to be a definite, right? Mm-hmm.
He's the second best player in franchise history. That's not like saying someone's the second best player in Lakers franchise history.
No, it's not.
It's Kevin Garnett and then a lot of other players with a wide gap. But there's just been something missing from him that doesn't align with the box scores. Like, you can look at his box scores and see 23, 25 points a game and rebounds, and he's the greatest shooting 7-footer in NBA history. But there's always been like a chip missing from either his game or from his mentality that prevents him from leading teams to the playoffs more often or being, and now it's a great situation for him because no one's really looking at him to save the franchise anymore. no one's looking at him to be the one that's the best player on a team that can go deep in the playoffs. He just needs to sort of fit in as the third guy behind Anthony Edwards and Rudy Gobert's defense. That's
I thought, you know, we all thought that I think that his ego would not, you know, allow him not to be the main eventer on a team. Mm-hmm. But I thought earlier this year he was kind of almost accepting it. And, you know, he and Edwards seemed to be okay. So now there's got to be times when he, you know, when there's 5 minutes to go and Anthony takes every shot and he doesn't get a shot, that he's, you know, he got to go home and complain to the girlfriend or something. But I don't know. With the money he's making, I guess he just, you know, the other part of it now is he's gone from Iron Man to missed 50 games last year. And how many is this now this year? 20? 20? Did he miss more than that?
Yeah, it's around that, 15 or 20. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, it is, I think talent wise, for until Edwards came along, he certainly was the second greatest. But performance wise, is he better than Kevin Love?
They're so similar, aren't they? I mean, bunch of crazy box scores with very little team success to show for it. Mm-hmm. Kind of personalities got a little sour after about 3 or 4 years.
And they both
really similar.
And they both, you know, and one thing about Cat is he had to go through a season here too where they were tanking, trying to get, you know, when they were just 4 years ago, they were 5 years in the tanking to try to get the, and they ended up getting Edwards out of that, right? Edwards has been here 4 years right now, right? Mm-hmm. This is year four. So, so that 2020-21 season, they basically did everything they could to lose that year. And he's, you know, he's also had to survive the trade where they traded for, they blamed him because they were trading for his best friend. And, you know, he's a real complicated figure in Minnesota sports history. But yeah. I found a beauty by me. You look back and you find your blunders, right? What's the date of this one? I wrote a column about how a few people have been legendary, you know, because there's a difference between legendary and, like, Carl Eller is not legendary with he's great, but with the Vikings, there's, like, on my list, there's only like 4 or 5 guys who are legendary, you know?
Sure. Yeah.
And now there's maybe another couple more, but on 3/6/2016, March 6th, two players that I am confident are become legendary: Cat and Miguel Sano.
Wow.
Well, you think about that group, yeah, Pat. Right. Buxton, Sano, Cat at the time. So that whole group, like the expectations at that time for what we thought have been so misguided and wrong, unfortunately.
Yeah, and when you go Buxton, Sano, obviously Sano is the least of those. But when you Buxton, Sano, Cat's probably been the best, right, of the three?
Yes. Oh, without question. Yeah. Because
he played so much.
Yeah, he did. Relative. He did play so much. But
this is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
So I don't think the public certainly doesn't love him, but he'll get a warm reception tonight from the crowd.
Yeah, but Naz Reid gets 20 times the warm reception and love as Carl. Yes. And another thing, just going back to the first 3 years that you were talking about, where he was an Iron Man, he never missed a game. He was All-NBA third team as a 21, 22-year-old. I think if you were to have stopped after the third season, and I'm sure we had these conversations on the old 1500 ESPN, and said, what is, if he's already this at age 22, yes, 3 years in the league, what is he going to be when he's 29? I think we figured he'd be more like what Jokic is right now, which is this, just this guy that can just dominate a game from any perspective. And he's not like, so is that a failure? It's such a hard thing to dissect because I don't think he's lived up to what we thought he was going to be 6 years ago.
I ran across a Jokic game from back then, the same period, by the way, I guess. They had to play it. They had the game where they had to beat Denver to get to the playoffs, last game of the year, Tibbs coaching. And Jokic, it was just this, you know, this, he was new too, right? And he was phenomenal that night. And in that playoff game, even though the Timberwolves, it's not a play-in game officially. It was the last game of the regular season, but they had to win to get in, right? The winner gets in, the loser. So it was a play-in game. And Jokic was, there's something in there I wrote about how Jokic was just fabulous that night. And where did this come from, you know? And but back then, did you really think Jokic was going to be a three times better basketball player than Cat? No way.
The hardest thing I think to tell though with guys like Cat and it's the hard, it's probably the hardest part about scouting. It's the wiring. It's the wiring of the player. Because Cat's got the talent. Look at Ant. Ant is, I mean, he might drive you crazy at times, but Ant is completely confident in Ant's ability to dominate. Yes. I've always thought Cat doesn't, my biggest thing with Cat was when he got to the playoffs for the first time, you could start to see this doubt crept in about what he could do and couldn't do. And I feel like he like would go home and watch what TNT said. It just felt like the wiring was off. And that to me is the most difficult part. Cause if Cat did not give a damn, I think Cat could be a Hall of Fame player, but he does give a damn, and that's part of the problem.
And that's probably more relevant or common in the NBA than any place else, because these personalities are different. I mean, talk about wiring. When Kyrie Irving's good, he's unstoppable. Yeah. But he only does that 20 times a year because he's worried that the earth is flat and he's going to fall off it or some damn thing.
He's going to drive off.
He's nuts. And he doesn't play. But right now he's playing. And who wants any part of those two, that team with those two guys? Right now he's playing. But, you know, the other thing is we were talking about the Clippers and the Clippers problem is Kawhi, you know. Hey, he might be the best player in the league, but if he gets bumped on the knee, he might take 12 games off too. So it's one thing. I think Cat, when he's been hurt, has been legitimate, you know, obviously. So I don't think he's looking for excuses not to play like some of these guys. So yeah. But the wiring is, what were the odds that he was going to be here 9 years?
The fear after the first 3 years is he's going to demand out because the Wolves aren't good enough for him, right? And he's going to be this top five player, right? And now I can't imagine because there's been all this Knicks steam the last few years, and if he were to go to a bigger market as the savior and come up short, that's why this continues to be a perfect situation for him. It's a smaller market, less criticism.
And I always thought that with Tibbs coaching the Knicks, that was a ridiculous idea. But now Julius Randle's hurt. I don't know what their contract situation is with him, but I bet they take him. And they wouldn't care about the luxury tax, you know. So by the way, my guy Tibbs went to the moon to get make sure that Brunson, he hired his dad as an assistant coach, to make sure Brunson is that guy. That guy's a should be in the MVP conversation.
Oh, he's unbelievable. It's crazy. Fantastic. When they signed him, it kind of felt like, ooh, that's a little bit of a desperate overpay for a good player. But he's legitimately one of the 10 or 12 best players in the league right now.
Last night, he met 39 again. He would have been his fourth straight 40 game or something if he'd made one more basket. And they don't have Randall, so they're probably not a threat to beat anybody, but they're in there. And
he's currently fourth in the NBA in scoring after the recent, behind Luka, Giannis, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He's averaging 29 points a game.
Okay. How many minutes is he averaging?
He plays 35 minutes a game.
49.
Yeah, right. Well, I got news for him. He better take his oxygen with him to the playoffs because he isn't getting off the court. He isn't getting off the court. But they're, you know, I was the Pelicans. It would be nice if the Suns could lose. So then they were locked in someplace. So when they come in here, they don't have to give you their real game on Sunday. We were talking about this yesterday. I mean, you got to beat Denver. Atlanta tonight, and you should, even though Young's back, but they got a couple other guys hurt. But you're going to have to beat the Suns Sunday. What you can't do is get away from the – you would like to finish third, so you play the Pelicans in the first round.
I don't know about that either, though. I think Pelicans and the Suns are the two teams that I would rather avoid.
You're stuck with one of them now.
Well, you'd have to hope if you can get the two seed, you would then hope that somebody beats the Suns or the Pelicans in the first play-in game, like the Kings win a game or the Warriors, you know, win the first play-in game.
That ain't happening. You're going to get one of those teams or the other, you know. I think
that might be a 7-game series.
Oh, God, yes, it'll be a war. The only thing you could hope for if you play them is if you're playing the Pelicans, what are the odds of Williamson going all the way to the finish line without, you know, missing a game for some reason? And then, although he's been playing a lot, and then Durant having something go wrong or something physically. You're going to have to outlast them physically by not losing your players. So,
yeah.
But it's going to be, man, Western Conference playoffs are going to be fantastic, aren't they?
Yes,
they're going to be great.
Yes, they are. Hey, by the way, we're talking about Cats wiring. Speaking of wiring, how are those cars wired over at the...
Man. Let me look here what I got to tell you, okay? My guys at the Valley Group, Jim Paul and Brett Paul, we got stores in Apple Valley and Hastings. And right now, the Valley Group has their best inventory in years. Really, all the Buick and GMC models that you would want, new ones. They got 120 on the new ones on the grounds there in Apple Valley. Even the previously hard to find Yukons, heavy duty pickups, and Hummer EVs. I just saw a heavy duty pickup Sierra come by my house here. I wish I was a pickup guy. I'd have to build a new garage, but you know, to make room for one of these monsters. But they got them out there, and there's many factory rebates. There's low interest financing, 0.9%, 1.9%. It is a great time to buy. Once again, the inventory is back. The supply chain is back. We're welcoming our previous customers back out there at Apple Valley and Hastings Valley Group. And anyone else that felt the treatment just didn't feel right the last time they went somewhere else. Because I can tell you this, I bought enough cars from Jim Paul and Brett Paul that it always feels right. You never feel like you're not being taken care of. So Valley Group, GMC, and Apple Valley and Hastings are valleycardealers.com. You can check out the inventory by going to valleycardealers.com. And what Jim says is this is car buying without the bad aftertaste.
Yeah. So, amen. Anyway. All right, Pat. Well, We'll see what happens with the Wolves. We'll see if the Twins can play three consecutive days without a weather event.
Rain in there again today.
Yeah, until like six tonight. And I think it's supposed to, I think it's supposed to rain.
Get out there on the muck or something.
It's going to be a late one.
Who's going to the game tonight? Who's going to the Wolfies game?
I'll be watching from afar tonight. Okay. Watching from afar.
All right. You going to be there, Judley?
I will not. I am in Iowa. I will not be driving back for the Hawks. Good.
This is a good time to go to Iowa because it's not fly season yet, so you don't have to be out at the farm.
It's fly season. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Hey, I got one last question. What's with the rabbits? I've never seen so many rabbits in my life. They're all over the place.
There's rabbit poop everywhere. There's rabbits, rabbit poop.
I've seen them. I saw a big one yesterday.
I wander out like at 1 a.m. once in a while to take some out to the garbage. Oh, there's 12 of them running from all over.
Let's unleash about 10,000 coyotes in the metro area recalibrate the population of rabbits.
I think that we didn't have any frozen little bunnies this winter because it was such a nice winter. They were just doing what rabbits do all winter long. They didn't...
Just bouncing around, pooping on people's lawns.
Here comes PETA. Frozen bunnies. Why can't we have more frozen bunnies?
We need more frozen bunnies. All right. See you.
All right. See you, Pat.
See you, Pat.
There it is. Royce Unchained, presented by Josh Arnold, investment consultant, Mr. Money Talk.